Hi, welcome to Skip's Corner, where I cover Nashville's baseball history and events and introduce you to players, coaches, and other fans. One of the great things that's happened in the last couple of years is the celebration of Negro Leagues baseball and its players and its owners and its teams. In 1920, Rube Foster and seven other owners of black baseball teams gathered in Kansas City to form the Negro National League. And that was the beginning of Negro Leagues baseball as organized. And in 2020, that would have been the 100th anniversary. The celebration was going to be great, and COVID had a lot to do with that being diluted. But it's going to continue on, and I think the recognition from Negro Leagues by Major League Baseball into some of the stats and raising those Negro League stats to Major League Baseball status says a lot about how recognized these players and teams should be, and they are. And Nashville's Negro Leagues baseball had its foundation in 1920, when Tom Wilson, who desperately wanted to put a team in the Negro National League, but was, I don't think, invited to that meeting, got seven other owners of black baseball teams in the South to form the Negro Southern League. But even before then, after the Civil War, as teams were organized to play baseball, they were not only white teams, there were black teams that were formed, and they even had an opportunity to play each other. The records in the newspapers don't give a full accounting, but they talk about this team was playing this team on a certain date, and there may not have been a summary of that or reporting of the game, but certainly they would have played. And we know that teams organized by the 1900s were teams like the Baptist Printers, the Maroons, the Methodist Publishing House, the North Nashville Tigers, and the Nashville Standard Giants. And where they played was at Fisk and at Pearl High School, where there were ball fields, and those schools hosted games on a regular basis. And often, Negro League teams traveled to Nashville to challenge the best local teams, like Rube Foster's Chicago American Giants and the New York Cubans. But baseball's groundswell in the black community is evident by an important event that took place in February of 1907, when a meeting was held at the residence of a man named J.W. White, and the intent was to organize the Standard Giants Baseball Club. And as reported in the February 22, 1907 edition of the Nashville Globe, a newspaper for the black community, the minutes are read, and it says, "Manager White called the house to order, and C.B. Reeves was made president. Mr. J.W. White, manager, and W.G. Sublette, secretary, and by unanimous voice of the House, Mr. Howard Petway, who did stunts for one of the professional teams of Chicago last season, was elected captain." Now, that's sports writer speak for, he did not do stunts. He played baseball for the Chicago American Giants, I think, at that time. And it says the Standards will travel extensively, and it is noted that they will play in Memphis, and they'll play teams from Hot Springs and Little Rock and Chattanooga, Birmingham, New Orleans, and even as far away as Beaumont, Texas. And this organization of the Standard Giants would lead to more teams. And by 1910, the Capital City League was the premier league for African-American teams, with the Standard Giants and other league members playing at Greenwood Park and Athletic Park. Athletic Park would soon become known as Sulphurdale. And the teams in that league were the Black Sox, the Nationals, the Baptist Hill Swifts, Athletics, and the Eclipse. But going back to 1918, the Standard Giants Club was purchased by Tom T. Wilson. Now, he was a native of Atlanta, but he was a sportsman, and he was an entrepreneur, and he loved baseball. He moved with his family to Nashville when his parents had the opportunity to study medicine at Meharry Medical College, and I think his dad became president of Meharry. And as he became a young man, he accumulated some wealth through interest in entertainment, ownership in nightclubs, and he even owned a local rail line and trolley service. And in March of 1920, he and seven investors pooled $5,000 and chartered a Tennessee corporation, and it was called the Nashville Negro Baseball Association and Amusement Company. And the purpose, right off the charter, says, of organizing baseball clubs and encouraging the art of playing the game of baseball according to high and honorable standards, and of encouraging the establishment of a league of clubs in different sections of the state. And he did. He helped form the Negro Southern League. Now, his team was called the White Sox. I think in the newspaper they referred to the White Sox, probably for a very obvious reason. I would guess they wore white socks. But it's recognized that Tom Wilson's club, the White Sox, was the Nashville Standard Giants, who he renamed the Nashville Elite Giants in 1921. That's spelled E-L-I-T-E like it's elite, but it's pronounced Elite. He even announced that that team would play all comers, including white teams, while they played in this Negro Southern League. And they continued to play in the Negro Southern League as they were never gained admittance into the Negro National League. And I think the reason is because of expenses that it would take to bring teams to the South from places like Chicago and New York on a regular basis. But he built his own ballpark by 1928 because he just wanted a place to have his own club play his home games outside of Sulphurdale and Greenwood Park. I'm sure by that time was not the same as it had been in the early days. It was located in Trimble Bottom, the largest Negro community in Nashville. And it would not only host games, but community events, both white and black. Tom Wilson Park was often used by the Nashville Vols, and many times preseason games were held versus the Elite Giants. Later, he tore that down after his team left Nashville. He built the Paradise Ballroom. I've heard Butch McCord say he saw Lena Horne and Cab Calloway perform at the Paradise Ballroom before. Now, the Elites played in the Negro Southern League until they were finally granted membership in the Negro National League for 1930. But just coming off the Great Depression, several teams pulled out of the league, including the Birmingham Black Barons, who were in financial distress, and they sold one of their stars to Tom Wilson as a drawing card, future Hall of Famer Satchel Paige. Now, I think Tom Wilson, being the entrepreneur that he was, felt like he could draw more fans in a northern city with this great pitcher named Satchel Paige. And so he took his Elite Giants team and he moved the club to Cleveland. He renamed them the Cubs, so they were the Cleveland Cubs. But it didn't last very long, and they returned to Nashville and even were in Nashville in 1931 when the Negro National League folded. He reorganized, along with the other owners, the Negro Southern League in 1932, and Nashville won the second half of the split season, and they earned a spot in the championship series against the Chicago American Giants, and the Chicago team featured Turkey Stearns as its star performer. Now, Stearns began his baseball career in 1920 for the White Sox. He finished the season and ended up going to Knoxville to help them try to win the what was called the Negro World Series against, let's see, I can't remember, Chicago American Giants, I think. He started playing in Nashville with the Nashville White Sox after attending Pearl High. And then he later played 10 seasons for the Detroit Stars in the Negro National League and was noted as a prolific home run hitter. And after joining the Chicago American Giants in 1932, Stearns played in the inaugural East-West Negro League All-Star Game in 1933. Now, Stearns was elected to the Baseball Hall of Fame in 2000. Another great player from Nashville was Henry Kimbrough. You may have heard me mention Harriet Kimbrough Hamilton. Dr. Hamilton is, her dad was Henry Kimbrough. And she has actually written a book about her dad from a scrapbook that her mom found for her that her dad had kept or the family had kept. And she named her book Daddy's Scrapbook. And here it's just wonderful to tell stories. I could listen to her all day talk about her dad and about what she has researched about Negro League baseball. Her dad, Henry Kimbrough, was a member of the Elite Giants for 12 seasons beginning in 1937. And he played in All-Star games from 1943 to 1947. Henry Kimbrough was born in Nashville in 1912, and he grew up just like a lot of players in the sandlots of his hometown, most likely at Hadley Park. And he played for 17 years in the Negro Leagues, and known for his strong outfield arm and his speed around the bases. He retired following the 1953 season with the Birmingham Black Barons, and he owned a taxi service and a gas station in Nashville. And I think I found something recently where he was named manager of the Baltimore Elite Giants in 1954. The Baltimore Elite Giants had been purchased by Sue Bridgeforth in 1951, I believe. And he actually moved the club to Nashville where they played an awful lot of their games in Sulphurdale and pretty much became a barnstorming team. There was another player that was well-known here in Nashville. His name was Felton Snow. Although he was not born here, he was born in Alabama in 1905, and his dad moved his family to Louisville. And by 1929, Snow was playing for several teams. He was known as a good fielder, a base runner, and a hitter, and eventually joined Tom Wilson's Nashville Elites, where he became an outstanding third baseman. And he played in two Negro League All-Star games, and his teammates included Hall of Fame members Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson, and Cool Papa Bell on the 1936 West All-Star team. He played and managed for the Baltimore Elite Giants in the 40s, and he played and managed too, and his highest batting average in seven seasons was .333. After that was over, he became manager of the Nashville Cubs, which was a minor league club formed by Tom Wilson to feed players into the Baltimore Elite Giants. And Snow retired from baseball in 1950 with over 21 seasons under his belt. A famous player that I mentioned earlier was catcher Bruce Pettway. He was known as having superb arm strength, and he played for the Leland Giants, the Philadelphia Giants, the Chicago American Giants, and the Detroit Stars, where he was a teammate of Turkey Stearns between 1923 through 25. And he was also born in Nashville in 1885. And then there are a few other players that I was able to meet and really enjoyed my conversations with them. The one that I enjoyed the most was Clinton Butch McCord, who began his baseball career in 1947 when he signed with the Nashville Cubs out of Tennessee State University. And then the next 2 years, he was with the Baltimore Elite Giants, and he ended up playing for the Chicago American Giants before joining what is organized baseball, where baseball was integrating. And he had 11 great seasons in organized baseball. He was so good as a first baseman. He won two Silver Gloves, which is the best minor league player at a certain position. And he won it twice and had two Silver Gloves presented to him as the best first baseman in all of minor league baseball. Butch was also born in Nashville. And another player I really enjoy getting to know is Jim Sapp. He was born in Nashville in 1924. And he played on naval baseball teams in Pearl Harbor and Staten Island, where he'd never played baseball before. But he was so good, he could hit the ball so far, Butch McCord used to say. That was during World War II. And upon discharge, his career began with the Baltimore Elite Giants. But he told me the thing that he loved the most about his career was in 1948, when he was a member of the Birmingham Black Barons. In one of the playoff games, he had a towering home run in the bottom of the ninth to tie the score before his team finally beat the Kansas City Monarchs for a chance to be in the 1948 Negro Leagues World Series. That was the last one. Sidney Bunch was another one. Sidney Bunch Jr. began his career with the Baltimore Elite Giants, and then he signed with the Brooklyn Dodgers affiliate in Billings, Montana. And he was expected to move up the ranks before his Marine unit was called up during the Korean War. So when he returned to baseball with the Birmingham Black Barons, he played for several more seasons. And then he was such a good athlete that when he retired after 1958, he played two more seasons as a wide receiver in the Canadian Football League in 1959 and 1960, which I think is just remarkable. Also born in Nashville. And then there's hometown favorite Junior Jim Gillum, the street in front of the Nashville Sounds Tennessee ballpark. His name, Junior Gillum Way, used to be Jackson Avenue. He was an all-star for the Elite Giants in 1948, 1949, and 1950 before signing with the Brooklyn Dodgers. And he was National League Rookie of the Year in 1953. Had a long career with the Dodgers after they moved to Los Angeles. Became a coach with the Dodgers in 1965, where he remained until his death in 1978. And there's that legacy of Junior Gillum Way in front of Nashville's first Horizon Park, is really what it's called now. Interesting thing about Gillum, he was so well loved with the Dodgers, when he passed away in 1978, they retired his number. So there you have it. Nashville had a share in the shaping of Negro League baseball. Those are a few of the stars. Those are the men who played the game and surpassed the boundaries of segregated baseball to become major stars. If you'd like to know more, you can email me at 262downright@gmail.com. Or you can go to baseballinnashville.com. There's a contact tab there, and you can fill that out and send it to me. I'd love to hear your suggestions, how you feel about this podcast, what subjects you'd like to hear more about or less about. I hope to have a few guests on in the future, and I hope you'll stay tuned to that. And as always, this is Skip Nipper. Thanks for joining me at Skip's Corner.